So I've had this in my heart for months. I get the privilege of preparing for months ahead of time. Lord knows I need that because as a teacher, you know, you dig into everything. Anyway, my title today is The Great Exchange. There were Protestant reformers. Martin Luther and John Calvin were some of those that described the good news of Jesus as the great exchange or the wondrous exchange. A quote from Martin Luther was, "This is that mystery which is rich in divine grace to sinners, wherein by a wonderful exchange our sins are no longer ours, but Christ. And the righteousness of Christ, not Christ, but ours." His righteousness becomes our righteousness, right? "He has emptied himself of his righteousness that he might clothe us with it and fill us with it. And he has taken our evils upon himself that he might deliver us from them." Many have used this title in songs or poems. If you've never listened to The Great Exchange by Bruce Carroll, you might want to listen. I love the song. I haven't really heard it in a while. But I found out I can Google it and it's there. Another popular song or poem that I want to read to you of the lyrics is called The Great Escape. And it's kind of written in old English or something or other. You'll see when I read it. "I crewed on a fair golden ship that went down at the dawn of the world. We mutinied and sentenced our captain to die. For our sails had barely unfurled, we sank shortly after our riot. Wanton flame and our powder kegs met. While I swam for my life, there came voices aloft, joyful, unearthly, and dread, singing of a violent, tireless mystery, that one would give his life to save his enemy. Too bone-tired to keep my arms moving, to swim or even grasp after straws, the undertow drew me down into its cold and infinite indigo jaws. I heard singing of a violent, tireless mystery that one would give his life to save his enemy. I thought I must be dead or dreaming when my captain, still battered, betrayed, pulled me up, laid me over the beam he had clung to, breathed his last, and sank under the waves. Your body is a bridge across an endless sea. Your body is a bridge across the endless sea." I think all of you can tell that that was written about the creation of time, Adam and Eve, and what happened when Adam gave over all of his rights to Satan. Unwittingly, because Satan is a trickster. But God had a plan, the cross of Jesus. Amen? Yeah. So today we're going to talk about this great exchange. And I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. This chapter has meant a lot to me because I found myself in it. But before I start reading the chapter, I'm going to pull Isaiah 54:14a out. "In righteousness you shall be established. A definition for establish is to make secure or permanent in a certain place, to cause to be widely known and accepted, to be put in a position, role, etc., that would last a long time, to begin or create something that is meant to last a long time. That's what established is. And God wants to establish us in His righteousness. That's what Jesus died for. Amen? Reading in a daily devotional by Kenneth Copeland, he was saying that this righteousness means to be in a right place with God, to be able to stand in the presence of a holy, awesome, almighty, pure God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Isn't that a gift? While I was reading this, the Holy Spirit opened my understanding how Jesus was made the worst possible sinner. I know we've all heard this, but it was opened up in such a way that thinking about, okay, the worst possible sinner that could possibly have been on this earth, that's what Jesus became on the cross. Because he took the sin of the whole world. And, you know, each one of us without Christ is in that same position. And yet, even though he was the worst possible sinner, and God actually had to turn his back on him, and Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Like, I'm your son. But he took on the sin of the world, and God cannot look on sin. And yet, he had chosen to send his son to become the perfect sacrifice for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Well, in that state, God chose to love him. Even though he had turned his back on him, and Jesus, in his sinful state, went down into the depths of hell, God remembered his love for the world. And he raised him out of the very depths of hell. What a gift that God could so love us that he would take the worst possible sinner that is now in the depths of hell, forgive him, and raise him up. Not only that, sit him at his right hand and give him all power and all authority. Listen to my version of John 3:16 and 17, and a couple verses here. For God the Father so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave Jesus the Son to die and become the worst sinner so that I could have eternal life. That you and I could have eternal life. You see, now the sin that separates us from God is not sinning. It's when we don't accept Jesus into our heart. We can be the worst sinner, and that's not going to be what keeps us from going to hell.
Amen.
What keeps us from going is not accepting or believing in Jesus and becoming part of God's family. Breaking the commandments is just what sinners do. That's who they are. That's who we were before we accept Jesus and got a changed personality, a changed person, a changed reality. So we're not the same as the world anymore. Yeah, we might make mistakes, but that's not who we are. That makes a difference. We're not the same. We're not habitually going around trying to sin because that's who we are. John 3:17, for God the Father did not send his Son, Jesus, into the world for you and me to condemn the world, but that the world through him, Jesus, might be saved. That's why he did it all for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God the Father, made him the Son who knew no sin to be sin for us, that's you and me, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, Jesus Christ. You could say that Jesus became us so that we could become him, or if you prefer, like him. We are the sons of God.
Amen.
We are co-heirs with Jesus. We sit in the same place, the same position that Jesus sits, on the right hand of the Father. We have the same power, same anointing, same calling that Jesus has.
Amen?
Amen? So we are like Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Now, let's get into Isaiah 61. You've been holding your place there? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There's 12 things I want to pull out of these verses here. You know, we all have a calling and anointing from the Lord, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us have these properties within us. We'll get more into that later. But as we read here, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and because he's anointed you, the first thing we can pull out is to preach good tidings to the poor. Well, what would the poor want to hear? Anybody know? Don't have to be poor no more. He became poor so that we could become rich. Does that mean that we're all going to be millionaires and ride around in fancy cars? And we miss the purpose, don't we? Or we miss the focus, if that's what we are thinking. That's very shallow. God will bless us, yes, but not so we can just put it upon ourselves. Number two would be to heal the brokenhearted. How many people do you go and see that are brokenhearted? There's a lot of people out there. To proclaim liberty to the captive. What are they captive with? It doesn't mean that they're in prison, but they're captive to something. Each one of us have things that we deal with that we need to get rid of, right, that hold us captive. Well, the Spirit of God comes along and he shows and reveals us these things, and then he shows us a way out. Amen? He shows us how we can become liberated. And it's keeping our eyes on Him that counts. Opening of the prison to those are bound. Yeah, there's some prisons that people who said they would never get out, God has some way made a way. And whether they're in prison because they've done something wrong or whatever, God can set them free on the inside. Amen? Amen? And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years in the Old Testament, they had the year where everyone was set free if they had become a slave to debt and everything. And they were set free that 50th year. So I guess you were in pretty good luck if on the 49th year, it might take a little longer if you were in the first year. You had to wait till year 50, right? But guess what? When Jesus came, every year became the acceptable year of the Lord. Every year we can be set free. The day of vengeance of our God. That's coming, but guess what? It already exists in the spiritual realm. The enemy's getting knocked around bad, and he doesn't like it. And of course, he fights back, but guess who's the winner? Jesus has won, and we're sitting in the same place he is. Number 7 is, to comfort all who mourn. You know, when we mourn, there's a sense of loss. We've lost something, whether it's a relationship, a person, finances. Say a thief comes in and steals everything that you had. He said that he came to comfort all who mourn. Well, what comfort would there be except to know that he will provide for us. Amen. Yeah? To give them beauty for ashes. Things that have been totally destroyed. You can't even see a speck of it. He can make beautiful. Flowers can grow out of a fire. Amen? Yeah. The oil of joy for mourning. That's the second time he's wanting to help people that are mourning. The oil of joy. Joy is our strength. Mourning just takes all of our strength away from us. But God can infuse us with the oil of joy. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You ever had a day when you woke up and you didn't know why, but everything just felt heavy and you didn't even want to get out of bed. You thought, nah, I don't know what it is about today, but it's not a very good day. Well, all we have to do is throw off that old spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. Amen? And before you know it, all of a sudden, you're ready to jump around the room and take on whatever comes your way for that day. That's a good way to start every day. Number 11 is the planting of the Lord. That's an establishment. He has planted us in righteousness. We are strong in the Lord. Our roots go way down into the rock of Jesus. And we are well established. Amen? Amen. Well, why is all of this? Number 12, the one thing that it's all for is that he, that's God, could be glorified. Amen? Amen? He's the creator. He's the one that put us all together. He's the one that sets us free. He's the one that directs our path. He shines a light and tells us how to go. Amen? You have a question? Ask God. It might not always be the answer you thought you was going to get. But it's always the best. Amen? Oh, God is good. Now, Jesus read these verses in Luke. You'll see that in Luke 4, 18 to 22 is where I'm going to read. And, you know, Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist, had, you know, the Spirit of God come down upon him and fill him. And then the Spirit led him out into the wilderness to be tested by the enemy. Well, he passed the test. Amen?
Amen.
He passed it 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus passed it. And then when he, the first message that he preached when he got out, when the first recorded message that we have after he came back, and he returned and was teaching everywhere, he came to Nazareth, the place he was born. And they handed him the book of Isaiah, and so he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant. Now he stopped short of talking about the vengeance of the Lord, because it wasn't time for that yet.
Amen.
It wasn't time for the cross yet. Amen? Amen? He had to go through all that. He had a ministry first. Well, then when he told his brothers and sisters and everyone in his town that this is what he's called to do, guess what? The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Who do you think you are? Well, we know who you are. They marveled that he could have such gracious words. Well, he's just the carpenter's son. Who is he? How can he say those things? You know that many in the world today are saying the same thing? Who is this Jesus you're talking about? He's just like all the other prophets, the priests, whoever's out there. He's just another one of them. They don't know him. You can't group him with everyone else. And so, down in verse 28, all of those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. It wasn't his time, was it? Guess what? The enemy can't take you out if it's not your time. If you haven't finished the work that the Lord has called you to do, not unless you give him permission, and sometimes we do that inadvertently, but God will give us wisdom. And so Jesus just walked right through the midst of them. How he did it, I don't know, but he got out of there. And guess what? He didn't stay around there. They rejected the message, so he went somewhere else where they would accept it. You know, sometimes we have to leave where we were. Sometimes we leave the places we're comfortable. Sometimes we have to go where he is telling us to go because people won't receive it. But he's got other people that will.
Amen.
Amen? He has people for us to minister to. And sometimes it is to stay right where we are and just be that witness. Show them love. Just keep planting those little seeds. And guess what? After 20, 30 years, all of a sudden, there's a harvest. God counts us faithful for wherever he's called us. Amen? Amen? So don't ever compare yourself to somebody else and say, I have to do this or I have to do that because that person has done that. And that's what it is to be. Nah, nah, nah. You find out what God wants you to do. And you do it with all that you've got within you. You do it. Don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to take what you think is a lesser position. Sometimes his positions, which are actually up the ladder, in the eyes of the world, is down the ladder. I don't know why I'm saying that, but God's got it for somebody. Could be me. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. But you know what? Patience and time, God reveals. Amen? So then after the resurrection, Jesus then commissioned his followers that they would complete the mission that he started, to preach the gospel to all the world. You'll see that in every gospel and in Acts. But the Great Commission is what it's all about. And he also told them to do it after they experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit for power. You know, he did that. He received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and was with them throughout his whole ministry. And that's what he'll do with us, just like he's done. That's what he wants us to do. You know, if we go out there on our own, we're going to get beat up, get discouraged, quit. But we fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Amen. The exchange of Isaiah 61 and Kenneth Hagin, I was reading in his book. This is Kenneth Hagin Jr. In God's Greater Glory on page 89. He says, when we become born again, we gain citizenship in heaven. We participate in a divine exchange, if you will, in which limited man meets unlimited God in a divine relationship. And our impossibilities can become God's possibilities in the earth. In Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen? Amen? With God, for us, can mean a state of being born again. We are with God. So how do we actually partake of these blessings and the glory of God? Of course, by faith. Everything is by faith. Being with God can also mean following him. Our being with God is a lifestyle. It's not just a one-time event. It's a constant, hi, Dad. What you got to tell me today? I need you to help me. I can't see beyond my 2 feet, but with your help, I can make it through this day. Amen. Amen. So, what do we do when we become the righteousness of God? Think about that. Each one of us that is born again is the righteousness of God. Is that you? Yes. Amen. Is that you?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Oh, we got some righteous people here. And so when we go through this great exchange, what happens? What are we going to do after that? Well, let's go back to Isaiah 61. You ready? This is what's going to happen with you. Starting at verse 4. And they, that's you and me, shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. The desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flock. The sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. And they shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. That's the world that doesn't know God. And in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. There should be an amen there.
Amen.
Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land where you are, they shall possess double. Woo! Everlasting joy shall be theirs. In our own place, where God has us, where he wants you, right? That's where you're going to possess double, and you're going to be joyful. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. That's trying to do your own worship to the Lord. Doing things your own way. I hate robbery, he says. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make with them an everlasting covenant. Everlasting is everlasting. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. I think my kids are getting there. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed, they've been with Jesus. Remember they said of the disciples, they've been with Jesus? That's what they're going to say when they see us. They've been with the Lord. They've been with Jesus. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. He's given his robe of righteousness to me. You know, sometimes we gotta throw off that old beggar garment and put on the robe of righteousness and say, this is who I am. I'm not that old person anymore. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for the earth brings forth its bud. As the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause the righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Just a couple more verses out of 62. You got it in you to listen? For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land be any more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, help out, Hezeboth, and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's all I have for you that the Lord has given. So go forth this week just praising the Lord, remembering every day is a day of thanksgiving unto Him. Amen. Amen.